Father, we thank you.
We return the praise to you this morning. Thank you because you do great things, too marvelous in our sight. We return all the glory to you, precious Lord. Thank you for the gift of life. It's not because of our righteousness. It's not because of our wisdom. It's not about our skill. But Lord, it has pleased you. We return the praise to you this morning. Speak to our hearts. Bring forth healing. Bring forth deliverance. Bring forth restoration. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And the church will shout a louder amen. Put your hands together for Jesus as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Awesome God we serve. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God all the praise, to whom alone deserve all our praise. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, are you there? Hallelujah. Now fix your eyes and did I say chapter 10? Second Corinthians chapter 1, please. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Say amen if you're there. Amen. It says, who delivered us from so great a debt, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Who delivered us from so great a debt, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now that suggests to us that deliverance is progressive in nature. Praise the Lord. Deliverance is what? Progressive. The Bible says he had delivered us. He will deliver us. And or rather, he had, past tense, he is presently delivering. Praise the Lord. And we trust he will yet deliver. Future. So it covers the present, the past, and the what? The future. That's deliverance. God will deliver you from every problem. Whatever poses itself as a problem in your life, get set, your time of deliverance has come. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to be sharing with you what I titled, Keys to True Deliverance. There are certain things we must have to understand and apply if we are going to experience real or true deliverance. We discovered that deliverance is threefold. It covers the present, the past, the future. And God is determined to deliver us in these three areas. In the past, he has been delivering. In the future, he has a plan for deliverance. And in the present, rather, he has a plan for deliverance. And in the future, God also has a plan for deliverance. Which means that we are assured that we can be covered in all these three dimensions. The past, the present, and the future. Hallelujah. If you are going to experience such futuristic deliverance, there are certain things you must have to understand. It's unfortunate, the testimony of our sister, and it's so pathetic about what happened to the young man who passed on. But I tell you, friends, it's important that we become very sensitive to discern the leadings of God in our lives. It will save us a lot of things. Now, for her to have said that, even somebody told him as a kind of a prophecy. Are you following me? That something was to happen. If it was somebody who was discerning, you would have been able to have checked within you to know exactly what God wants you to do, what to do. It's important in our lives. I keep telling you that God keeps speaking. God keeps what? Speaking. The problem we have most times is that we are not tuned in to discern what he is saying. And to many people, if you are waiting for God to speak in an audible, loud voice, you may never hear God that way all the days of your life. But there are things around you that God can use to communicate to you. The issue is, if you are tuned in to capture what God is saying, then you can know what line of action to take. Praise the Lord. May God open your eyes. May God open your ears to understand every signal that heaven is sending to you. It's important. It's important. It's important. And unfortunately, many things that God will simply permit that is not his absolute will. I think I've shared this with us before. There are things God could permit that is not his absolute will. Don't make the mistake of thinking that anything that happens is the will of God. No. Don't make that mistake. It's not scriptural. Are you listening to me? It's not scriptural to assume that everything that happens is God's will. Because there are many things God is not in control of that he gives to consent of our will to decide what happens. Are you following me? When God created Adam and Eve, he wanted them to have a knowledge of good and evil, but not an experiential knowledge. He wanted them to have a mental knowledge. That was God's scope of creation from the Garden of Eden. That man will have a mental knowledge of good and evil, but not an experiential knowledge. And that was why, when he finished creating man, he told him, don't eat of this fruit. He made man become aware that there was something called good. There was something called evil. He said, avoid the evil. Mental knowledge, but not an experiential knowledge. God knew that the day they have an experiential knowledge of bad, something will go wrong. He never desired that man will have an experiential knowledge of it. And that was the reason, the moment Adam said, I am naked, God said, what have you done? He knew he must have done something to become aware that he was naked. Because it will take only having an experiential knowledge of evil to open his eyes to the dimension that he was naked. The moment he said he was naked, God said, what have you done? Have you eaten the fruit I asked you not to eat? Because God knew that that is what will make him become aware of his nakedness, his experiential knowledge of evil. But as long as he had a mental knowledge of it, he wouldn't discern he was naked. We leave that revelation to some other time. But I say this again to say that there are many things that God can permit in our lives that is not his will. So when we still bring it to the scope of God's deliverance, it is within a confine of certain things we may need to do to be able to enjoy it. Are you following me? Now I want to show you 6 keys. Time will fail me. Perhaps I take you to 3 of them this morning, and then I'll be continuing in the second service, that will help us experience true deliverance. If you want to live your life enjoying and experiencing true deliverance, there are 6 things you must have to do. 1, remain connected. Somebody say, remain connected. You must have to remain connected. We cannot do these things on our own. Praise the Lord. We can't do it on our own. And God has set a pattern for us to follow. And if we must enjoy the scope of God's deliverance, we must have to ensure that we do what? Remain connected. There are instructions God will give to you per time. There are things God may say to you per time. And believe me, in obeying and complying to these things is the confines within which God may grant you a certain dimension of deliverance. If you go contrary to it, you may not enjoy what God will to have done for you. I don't know if I'm making sense this morning. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But believe me, inconsiderate of how much and how far he moves, the scope of people he is able to get at is within a given framework. And that's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, be very careful, be observant. Your devil, like a roaring lion, he is walking about, seeking him whom he may do what? Devour. And believe me, it is only those that gives him the opportunity to devour them that he will do what? Devour. He will not devour you because he wills to, because he desires to, because he wants to. It is only those that gives him the opportunity. It's almost akin to what happened to Peter. Jesus said to Peter, "Satan had desired to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you." I have done what? Prayed for you. Jesus had to stand in the gap on behalf of Peter. I believe me friends, it's possible that it was Peter that the devil was targeting first. But because Jesus stood in the gap and did certain things, he was able to take Peter out of the hands of the devil. But when the devil came for Judas, there was something wrong about his heart that it was difficult for God to intervene. Did you hear what I said? There was something wrong about his heart. There was something wrong about his heart. I believe when Jesus saw Peter, he saw a man that was prone to be used of the devil, but his heart was not in alignment. But for Judas, there was a heart alignment that even if God or Jesus were to try to intervene, because his heart was open and aligned to what the devil wanted to use him to do, it became difficult to reach out to him. Jesus will prophesy and he will say, "The Son of Man will be betrayed, but woe unto him, through him he will go." Why did Jesus say, "Peter, I prayed for you. I have delivered you. I did something for you in the night." You didn't know what was to happen. Even Peter himself didn't even believe he was to deny Jesus. When Jesus said to him, "You will deny me," Peter began to swear and to curse. He said to Jesus, "I will, even if everybody run away, I will give my life for you." Jesus looked at Peter. He knew the heart of Peter. He knew Peter had a very good heart. But he knew that there's a time will come when his strength will fail him. There are people like that. God looks at their heart. He sees they have a genuine heart. There are things they want to do for him. But somehow there are circumstances around them that won't let them do it, that will fail them. And God steps in the gap to find a way to plead their cause. But when God sees someone who has an evil heart, not even Jesus himself could stand to intercede, because there was something wrong with the heart in the first place. Peter was prone to talking too much. He will say the ones he can do and the ones he cannot do. "I will die for you." If Peter will die for Jesus, what did Jesus come for? Imagine Jesus who came to die for the world, and then before he dies, Peter dies for him. You have spoiled everything now. But that tells you how transparent his heart was to do something. But when the time came that very night, Peter began to swear and to curse that he had never seen Jesus anywhere. The young lady stood before him. Peter said, I have never seen this man anywhere. The lady moved and came back the third time. Peter was still swearing and cursing until the cock crew. It dawned on him, I have done that thing that I said I would never do. The Bible says Peter ran out. You read through the scripture. When Jesus will send message about his resurrection, he will tell the women, tell the disciples and Peter. Was Peter not among the disciples? Why will Jesus say, tell the disciples and Peter? He had to mention Peter specifically because he knew how Peter would feel having denied him. He said, tell the disciples and Peter, I have resurrected and I'm going ahead of them. Though you failed me, I had a plan, a redemption for you. I had arranged it ahead of time. I knew you will do it. I have made plan to help you. I prayed for you, but you will stand again. And before the same crowd and even more, you will profess my name. Tell Peter, the disciples, and Peter. There's always a plan. Friends, if you are going to enjoy genuine deliverance, you must remain connected. Remain connected. God will not just deliver you from nowhere. There must be a plan. There must be a process. The devil is looking for whom to devour. And let me say this as I continue. The moment you afford the devil a chance to operate in your life, believe me, friends, the devil will start to operate. That is how the devil functions. Even if you have afforded him the chance ignorantly, it is enough for him to start his work in your life. But for God to do anything in your life, he must keep seeking your consent. Your will must be what? Involved. But when it has to do with the devil, you may just need to surrender your will once. And then he will seize upon the initial footing you have granted to him to advance and take control over the person. A time will come even when you have decided not to do certain things. The devil will push you into it because the moment he gains ground, he begins to advance. And that's what happens with addiction. Most addictions begin with an intention to enjoy little momentary gain. All addictions, that is how it begins. There is something small the person wants to enjoy. There is something he or she wants to get pleasure from. But as you continue in it, a time will come when you become fed up with the supposed pleasure you wanted to get from that thing. But that is where you now understand that you have met a difficult challenge. Even though you do not want to go further again, the person cannot stop because beyond the physical now, the spiritual has become involved that he or she must still do that thing. I don't know if you are getting me. Yes. Some time ago, I read a paper about a woman who, they say she was a very rich woman. She went into a shopping mall in abroad, bought things worth thousands of dollars. And eventually, as she was going, she went and stole an underwear. She did what? Stole an underwear. They call it kleptomania. There are people like that. Their hands don't rest. In fact, their hands are always, you know. The moment you take your eyes off, he takes something. A very rich woman. Why would she spend all the money, buy so much things she bought? And then she now steals an underwear. These things are the works of the devil. And whoever is experiencing such thing, it's not as though they desire to do those things. Sometimes they do not desire it in themselves. But there's a force beyond their capacity that must pull them in that direction. May God break such yoke over your life. Whatever is happening in your life against your will and your desire, I decree this morning, may that yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. You must remain connected. Praise the Lord. Once you afford the devil a chance to operate in your life, he starts. Praise God. So that's important in our lives. We must keep the base of our life spiritually burning. We must keep the fire burning in our lives. The moment your life begins to dwindle spiritually, you will discover there are certain things, there are certain desires, there are certain appetites that will begin to do what? Creep up. Because your life is beginning to dwindle. The fire is beginning to go down. Time and again I have told you that flies don't perch on hot food. Am I right? Yes. Flies don't perch on hot food. The moment the food is hot, the same thing happens. When you are done cooking with your stove and there are food particles there, flies will not perch on it. As long as the stove is hot, they wait for it to do what? Get cold. When it gets cold, then they start perching on it. And that's why we must ensure we stay connected, that the fire of the Lord keeps burning in our lives. And when we keep it burning, you discover you are naturally free from so many oppressions that the enemy will want to stir in your life. Praise the Lord. The second key to true deliverance is to separate yourself from the accursed things. Separate yourself from the what? Accursed things. There are things the Bible calls the accursed things. If we do not separate ourselves from them, believe me, no matter how much you pray and desire that you could be delivered, it makes it difficult for God to reach at you. Because there are certain things we can mingle with that opens the door for the enemy in our lives. Now look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Are you getting blessed this morning? Joshua chapter 6, are you there? We'll read verse 17. We'll read verse 18. That was the warning God was giving to the Israelites. Joshua 6:17, it says, "And the city shall be what? Accursed." I told you this last week, Sunday. The word accursed means dedicated for destruction. So Ab initio, before they even went to destroy the city, the Lord pronounced that the city is accursed. It is dedicated for destruction. As a consequence, nobody should take anything from there, or the person will dedicate himself for destruction. Did you see that? He says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein unto the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed things, lest thou make thyself accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it." That was a warning. It will surprise you to know that the name Achan means trouble. Achan. That's the meaning of the name, trouble. And he brought trouble to the Israelites. He brought trouble to them. God said, stay away from the accursed things, lest you also be what? Accursed. The moment you partake of the accursed things, the things that are dedicated for destruction, automatically you dedicate yourself for destruction. And they went into the city. Unfortunately, the moment Achan saw the Babylonian garments, the Bible says he went there and took some of them. The moment he took it, automatically he dedicated himself and all the Israelites for destruction. They couldn't experience deliverance. This was a nation God had promised them to give to them. But now they got there, they couldn't defeat them. Even before they went to the battle, Joshua assessed it. And by military intelligence, he said, "These people are few. We don't need to take all our men to go and fight them. Let's pick a handful of people. Let them go and destroy them. There are very few of them." And they picked a handful. And those handful had an experience they have never seen all their lives. When they got there, the way they dealt with them, they ran and ran away. And Joshua came back and he began to question God. He said, "What is this? You have promised us you will deliver us. They are few. Why can't we deal with them?" And God said, "Somebody has taken the accosting." God met Joshua praying. He said, "What is..." God said, "Joshua, get up. Get up. It's not a time to prophesy. It's not a time to pray. It's a time to put the pattern in order." Someone had taken off the accostings. Go and put the pattern in order. Some years back, I preached a message I titled "The God of a Pattern." And I said, God is a God of pattern. If you want to experience results in your walk with God, you must ensure you follow according to the pattern He has laid down. If you want to experience results, you must follow Him according to the pattern He has set. If you move contrary to that pattern, you cannot get the desired results. They went there, they couldn't defeat them. As small as the nation was, the Israelites couldn't defeat them because someone had taken their costings. Believe me, there are things prayers will not do for you. No matter how much you pray the prayer of intercession, asking God to give you, there are many things that won't get to you until certain patterns are put in order. Joshua questioned God. "You promised to give us this land. Why have we suddenly run away from our enemies?" God said, "Joshua, get up. Put the pattern in order. The victory is dependent on the pattern that is put in order." God is a God of pattern. Discover the ways of God and how God wants to grant you victory in life. Follow it and you will see deliverance. You cannot walk outside the pattern that God has given to you and expect to see the result He has promised. I'll say this again. You cannot walk outside the pattern God has given to you and expect to see the result He has promised. You must ensure you align yourself with the pattern that God has given to you before you can enjoy the result He has promised. But many times, we walk outside the pattern and we hold claim on the promises of God. You won't see the result. You won't see it. God said to Joshua, "Put the pattern in order." And Joshua will return, take away Achan from among them. And the moment they do that, they return to the same city and they see that result. Did you hear what I said? They see that result simply because the pattern has been put in order. Praise the Lord. There are things you do that opens door for the enemy in your life. If you do not do the things the Lord has asked you to follow, it might be difficult to enjoy deliverance. 2 Corinthians 10:6, the Bible says we should have in readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. You can't be able to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is not fulfilled. You won't be able to. I told you this some time ago that the power in the name of Jesus is not in the exclusive reserve of the authority that Jesus have. The capacity or who the caller is important to decide the result that will be produced. The covenant, the agreement, the pattern the caller has put in place in his walk with God will also be in place to decide the result the name will produce. Did you get what I said? Yes. It's not enough to call the name of Jesus. While that name is so powerful, but the track record and the pattern the caller has put in place to align himself with God's will and principles and procedures is a great factor to deciding the result that name will produce when it is called. So don't think that anytime you call the name of Jesus, demons tremble. It's not true. You have watched a local movie before and you think that is how it works. My brother, that is not how it works. We are deceived. That is movie. The devil doesn't tremble anytime, every time you call the name of Jesus. He questions to know who is calling that name. That was what the evil spirit said to the sons of Sceva. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? Your identity will always be brought in play in the realms of the spirit anytime you call that name. They say, who is calling it? Who is calling it? And that's why I told you, the power in that name is not just dependent on what Jesus has done, but who is calling that name? We know Jesus, we know Paul. Who are you? The devil will always ask you that question. When you call the name of Jesus, who are you? And it is a track record you have and the consistency you have in your walk with God that will be important to give you that deliverance. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. He says that the King of glory will come in. Did the gates get lifted? No. He raised the question, who is the King of glory? Who is this person? Who is he? Your identity will be in play. It's not enough what you say. It's not enough the name you exclaim. What is your identity? You don't intimidate the devil with big grammar and all those things. Even if you like, command an evil spirit and say, I casted you out. If he sees your identity, he will leave. He will say it's past tense. The devil does not understand grammar in correct tenses. Did you hear what I said? The devil does not understand grammar in correct tenses. Whether the English is climbing each other, it makes no difference. What he looks for is the identity of who is saying that thing. If you have a force within yourself in the realms of the spirit, he will obey it. He will. But if you don't have an identity, if you like, speak all the grammar. Add phonetics to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil will not bow to your grammar. In the days of his power, the people shall be willing. The devil looks out for who your identity is. And friends, if you don't have that identity in the realms of the spirit, you can't get a victory. You must keep yourself from the accostings to carry that identity. And when you make a proclamation in the name of Jesus, you begin to see results. May you begin to see results in your life. Whatever has kept you from results, I pray this morning, may God help you align yourself so that you will see results in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let me end with saying, know the word. Because of our time, I can't go into all that. Know the word. Praise the Lord. If you are going to enjoy true deliverance, you must have a good knowledge of God's word. When you hear certain one man of God exclaim that there is no devil anywhere, believe me, there is something he knows. He said there is no devil anywhere. There is something he knows. You don't just say what he's saying. You don't just say what he's saying. You know, some years back, we were sailing in one river like that, and then somebody came up to pray, and he was singing a song, and then he got to the song and said, Satan, shame on Ike, the Obara Jesus. He said, Ike, mommy, water. Somebody began to look at him and say, you're on top of water. Boy, you don't top water, you say, Ike, mommy, water. As though he was trying to invite the devil to remember him that he is there now. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the word, you can't. You can't. You can't. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The strength of the devil lies in the believer's ignorance. The strength of the devil lies in your ignorance. If you don't know the word of God, if you don't know the word of God, you cannot enjoy through deliverance in your life. It's not possible. It's not possible. When you read Jeremiah chapter 3:15, the Bible says, I will give you pastors after after my heart that will teach you knowledge. It's important. There's something that happened to me lately. I want to close on that note. There's a church I usually visit in Asaba lately. I've been there a number of times. I was going on my Facebook page when I came in contact with one of their programs. And I had the Lord said, go to that meeting. Now, I attended that program. And I was really blessed in that program. But there was something I didn't like. Now, I'm saying this to point out certain things to you. You don't understand fully the ways of God. I walked into that church. I wasn't so pleased with the church. Because, maybe because of my inclination. And to be very frank with you, they try to package so many things. And everywhere is air conditioned, very beautiful place. Even up to the choir. The choir's uniform, all the ladies have the same hairdo with each other. And I was wondering, do you do this like this every Sunday or every service day? I saw certain things they tried to package, and obviously I wasn't so comfortable with it because I still saw a quiet dimension of expression of flesh in certain things that was being done. They weren't bothered about how the people dressed. You could just dress anyhow. Even the young man who was leading the praise worship, he had the kind of hair, the way he just looked with, you know, a lot of chains he put around his waist. Looked so much yuppie and all that. And I observed that even myself, while I was there, very uncomfortable with the whole situation. There was one lady, mature woman that was there with me too. I saw that she was just sitting down. All through the praise and worship, she didn't want to stand up because she was just looking like this. You can see the anger on her face. You can see the expression on her face that she wasn't happy. But I was asking myself, I said, why do you want me to be here? Why do you want me to be here? And as I was just there, God spoke to my heart days later. He said, I want you to learn a certain principle. And that's why I asked you to be there. I listened to some of the things he said. And the next time I'll return again, it was when his mentor came around. And there were key words I picked, which I knew was why the Lord asked me to be there. Key words I picked. But in all, I didn't feel excited about the environment. I didn't like their praise worship. I didn't, the place was, I could see, you know, when somebody is singing and she's so conscious of her hair and she does her hair like this. I said, my friend, leave this hair alone and worship God first. Because the way she did the hair, you can observe who are so conscious of self. But folks, we are flowing, no doubt. But I couldn't flow in that place. But I just knew. God told me, he said, there's something I want you to pick. I say this to say that God said, I will give you pastors after my heart. God knows what you are seeking for. God knows what to connect. And sometimes you may walk into a place, it doesn't look like what you want, but God knows what he wants to feed you with at that time and where he wants to nurture you to bring you up. Be sensitive. Take what God has for you then and move on. I could see flesh. Believe me, I'll say return there when the time comes. When they have a meeting that is not outside my schedules, weekdays, I'll return there. Because there is something the Lord wants me to capture. There's something. But many things, they aren't in line with what I personally align as my own inclination. And I observed and I discovered that God could lead certain people in certain ways based on maybe what he has assigned them to do. Are you listening to me? Maybe what he has assigned them to do. Perhaps these young folks and young ladies who are there, who are just there, maybe, who knows, if not for that nature of environment, they may not even have had the word in the first place at all. Are you listening to me? They might be there to bring them and groom them to a point to where God will take them to where they will get the full dose of what he wants them to hear. But if not for that environment in the first place that attracts them and keeps them that way, they may not even have come to the light at all. Who knows? I do not judge. I do not know. But I don't feel comfortable. But I know there was something the Lord says, go and pick something and move on. We must be discerning. We must be discerning. When God wants to drop something in your spirit, when God has a word for you, when God connects you with certain people, He wants to use them to build certain things in your life, you may not always have them around. Pick what God has brought you there for and move on with your life. It's a personal race. It's a personal thing. Maybe he's doing what God asked him to do. Who knows? But I know I won't be comfortable there. Maybe he's doing what God asked him to do. But I know what God has asked me to do. God is interested in feeding you part time. And whatever it will take you, friends, don't joke with these things. I've told you time and again that church is more spiritual than it is physical. Let's rise to our feet as we pray. You must have good knowledge of God's word. You must have good knowledge of God's word. You must have good knowledge of God's word. The young prophet was deceived by the old prophet because he lacked knowledge of God's word. He didn't know. And in all his transparency, the consequence was not lightened. He still suffered the consequence. He made a grave mistake of relinquishing the responsibility of seeking God for himself to some other person. And that was why God punished him. When the old prophet said, "An angel told me," he would have gone to ask the God who told him not to go the same way. But he felt that man was more experienced. He felt that man was older than him in what he was doing. Sometimes even the older ones can still move you away from the plan of God. Sometimes even the older men, the older ministers can still move you out of the plan of God. Because he doesn't know what God told you. When they give you advice, tell them, "Thank you, sir. But you know what God told you. Go and do what God told you." Are you listening to me? You know what God told you. Go and do what God told you. The person that is giving you that advice may do it innocently. He may be doing it based on what he feels is his experience in this thing he's doing. I know a man of God who said God told him to focus on youth ministry for a while. He said God didn't give him the period he would focus on it. And then he said he kept moving from one campus to the other. And some other big men of God called him and said, "This thing you are doing, you won't go far. What business you have to do with students? How much do they give to you? This and that, go and look for some, go and look for." He said, "This is what God told him." He said when they give him such advice, he thanked them for their advice. And he still goes back to what God asked him to do. There could be something God told you. People will see it from a different angle and give you an advice. But you know what God told you. And that was a mistake of that young prophet. That was a mistake of the young prophet. He listened to the old prophet. And he lost his life. He would have been delivered from that problem if he had followed what God told him. Can you raise your voice and talk to God this morning? If you will enjoy true deliverance, you must know the word. What has God told you? What has God told you? People don't understand what you understand. People don't see what you see. You are the one that God spoke to. When Saul had the encounter, everybody saw the light, but only Saul had the voice. He said, "The light shone, we fell, we saw the light, but I had a voice." People may see the light, but they don't hear the voice. You know the voice. Friends, do what the voice has asked you to do. Don't be carried away by those who fell because of the light. Many will see the light, but won't hear the voice. What did God ask you to do? If you are going to enjoy true deliverance, what did God tell you? It structures your path and keeps you in alignment. When you go against what he has told you, you are bound to experience certain things you may not like. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise this morning. To you be all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.